Tony and Exodus Road Band, thank you so much. Dave is doing the youth. Go ahead. Yeah.
All
right.
All the youth that are going to be, Dave is going to go other room, right?
No, we're going to go outside.
You're going to go outside? Okay. So any of the youth that would like to go outside, and you 40 and 50 year olds, you stay in here for the message, okay?
That's personal, but I got a free youth card today.
Go ahead. Go ahead. All right.
This is for the youth. Adults, you have to stay here for the meat of the message, okay?
Everyone left.
Jim, your facial expressions are being recorded. Jim, we're staying. Yeah, we're here, Jim.
You leaving too?
No.
Okay.
No. It's not optional for adults. Get back in.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I feel like being a little risky today. And I don't, this thing, I already knew I wasn't going to stand behind this, but I'm going to be good. I feel like being a little risky today. And then somebody will say, we're not supposed to go by our feelings. I don't care. I'm going to be a little risky today. So I was going to do two risks today, and one of them just walked out the door.
Not you.
No, it's one risk.
Go get Lily.
Really?
Yes. I was going to do two risky things today, and I'm going to go ahead and do them. So we're just going to wait. And this does not count against my time, because I know you gave me a certain amount of time. It does not go against my time.
Wherever you went out, it gave you a minute.
Jim, are you hungry?
Yeah. Lily, come in here. Okay. So today is a special appointed time of the Lord. No. Today is a special anointed time of the Lord. Appointed time of the Lord. Shavuot, right? Yes. One of his anointed feasts.
Yes.
The fourth feast.
Yep.
He selected this day for a particular reason. And we came here today, right? It's also another day. It's also Lily Johnson's birthday. And she is 19 years old today. And was it last week or the week before we went to Mark Dickerman's house? We had a cornhole championship of the world contest.
Yeah. And I wasn't there, but I couldn't have been the world.
And me and Lily played Mark and Emma. And we ended up the world champion cornhole people of the world. So, me and Lily, we have a special bond because of that. But I want to say to you, Lily, I pray the Father gives you everything that you ever desired. I pray that He fills your heart with everything that you've dreamed for. And you're a very special person, and He's got a very special plan for you, and you need to get a hold of that. Okay? So, Father, in Yeshua's name, I pray for Lily today, Father. I pray for freedom. Father, in Yeshua's name, I pray, Father, that she'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and that she would get a vision, Father, for who she is in you, Father. That she would see herself, Father, as a special child, Father, of your kingdom with a plan and a purpose and operate within her gifts, Father. Of writing and everything that she has within her heart, I pray for Lily today to be blessed. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
All right. That was risk number one. Lily, you can go outside now if you want. You don't have to stay and listen to me, trust me.
She doesn't have anything to escape.
All right. The Father loves us.
Amen.
And aren't you glad that He loves us?
Yes.
And aren't you glad that He loves us enough sometimes that He wants to get our attention again? Yes. Aren't you glad that sometimes, you know, I know in my life that He just gives you one of these, yo, if I need you over here, why are you over here? What are you doing? I've got something for you to do, and you're wandering off over here, and I didn't tell you to wander off over there. So I need you to get back over here, or I'm not going to be able to use you. And He just gives me one of like Phil Jackson used to do with the Lakers. You could hear him whistling all the way down the hall. He's trying to get my attention. And there's an easy way to do it, and we can just repent and turn back and follow Him. There's an easy way when we listen to what He says in our heart. And then there's the hard way. Right, Nathan?
I've been there.
Yeah, me too. Then there's the hard way. And so I was praying this morning. I was getting ready. I'm excited. I'm all ready to, man, I can't wait. And it's a big day. And you know, we had a blast last night. Me and Patty were talking about it on the way home. And we're saying, man, what fun that was. And thank you guys for blessing us always with your music and your worship. And it came up and said, sometimes we feel complacent. I don't want to see any hands. Are you enjoying that cracker or whatever it is? Because you've been working it pretty hard, whatever. Whatever it is, it's better when you're opening something when people are teaching. Just rip it open, get it over with. This. I mean, we can't hear it. We can hear it. Thank you, Adam. Way to cover her, Rich. That was my wife. It wasn't me. Her name's Christiana, Lord. Complacency. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But here's what the Father said. We can either do it the easy way or the hard way. And Tony was asking, how many of us want to get back? How many of us want to be used? How many of us want to get out of our funk? How many of us want to be used? So the Lord said, why don't we try this today? For those that feel complacent, and you've been complacent a long time, and you don't want to do it the easy way, let's try this. Let's pray the prayer of Job. And we start saying, Father, remove everything in my life that's a distraction. Remove, Father, if my house is a distraction, if my money's a distraction, if all my entertaining things are a distraction, if my recreation is a distraction, whatever is a distraction. If you can't do it the easy way, then why don't we just ask Him to take away all that stuff until we're like Job and all we have is you and Him. I didn't think so. I really didn't. But the point is being... The point being, He wants our attention. And that was just an example of Him reminding us of what could be. Of what could be. Oh, I forgot the timer because I know I go long sometimes. I'm going to try to be good. 15 extra minutes. It's 15 extra minutes. So the Father loves us. He loves us enough to call us back. How many times do you think we can get lied to if we don't know the truth? How many times can we get lied to if we don't know the truth? Anything that comes up. Tony was saying, bounce it up against the Word of God. Bounce it up against the Word of God. Our Father is orderly. He's structured. From the beginning of times, as we know it from reading His Word in Genesis, He's been working on a plan to restore mankind and the earth back to Him. From the beginning of time, He knew what was going to be happening before we were ever here. Even Yeshua prayed, Father, I pray to return to you where I was before the world was ever created. Yeshua was with him from the beginning. We can't even comprehend it. He established cycles and patterns and times that we are to recognize and observe. We're to recognize his times and his cycles and his patterns. And in Genesis 1:14, he said, Then the Lord said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. Signs and seasons for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And so it was. As soon as he said it, it came to be. We read last week, I was teaching, Tom was out of town, in Isaiah. I believe it was Isaiah. My word does not return to me void. If he says it, it's done. It's like the rain that falls on the earth. It produces seed. It produces something. It doesn't come back to him void. So he said, let there be signs and seasons. And of course, that word seasons in verse 14 is moed. Moed, M-O-E-D. It means an appointed time, an appointed place, an appointed meeting, a sacred time with the Father. He selected today, Pentecost, Shavuot, a sacred time to meet with us today for us to give him our full attention so he could celebrate with us, so he could share his love with us. It's what brings us together. It's the fourth of seven, Moedim. And when Israel received, it was time when Israel received the Torah at Mount Sinai. And in the book of Acts, and we've talked about this today, and there's not much overlap. I have a few scriptures. I'm just really glad that out of the three speakers so far, there's not much overlap, because you think, oh, I might have to go redo my message if somebody teaches my message. And when Israel received on Mount Sinai, and in the book of Acts, the followers of Yeshua, the true followers of Yeshua, the believers, received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about. And how do I see it? I like to put things, I love studying the historic things of the Bible. I got to put something into application. I need something to wake up in the morning and say, Father, I need this today. I'm going to work. I got to face some things. I need you in my life today. I need this. I need to apply some things. It's good to know all the history of it, but now I need to walk this thing out. Mount Sinai. The book of Acts. I see it as a time of movement. A time of movement. When Israel was to depart from the mountain to head towards Canaan, the promised land, to fulfill the covenant that the Father had made with Abraham. They were getting their instructions. They were getting their constitution. They were getting what they need to go into the promised land. But what happened? Fear overshadowed their trust in God. Fear overshadowed their trust in God. The Father, God, who promised to go before them, to fight for them, to be their refuge. And they decided to let fear overshadow their trust in the Holy One. And with that, it was 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert. I've been in the desert long enough. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's time for us to start trusting in Him. I mean, it really is. Because guess what? If we're going to let everything in the world that's going on overshadow and draw fear into our lives and overshadow the faith and the trust that we're to have in Him, He'll just be as displeased with us as He was with them.
That's right.
If every time we turn on the news, we're freaking out, He's going to be just as unhappy with us as He was with them. Without faith. Without faith, it is
impossible.
Me and Patty were listening to something on the way up here. I don't know the Asian word. But there's an Asian word. And in this Asian word, it means crises. It also means opportunity. The same word. Crises and opportunity. So what are we going to walk in this crisis that we have going on? Is it going to be a crisis in our life, or is it going to be an opportunity to serve Him and to be a light to the dark world? We have a choice to make. It was a time of movement when Israel was supposed to leave the mountain. He had a calling for them. He had a purpose for them. He was going to take them into the promised land. They had been in slavery and bondage for all those centuries. And the same with Yeshua's disciples. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, that was another time of movement. They were to take the good news throughout the world. They were to do something. In Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But guess what? We're in the ends of the earth. We're not in Jerusalem, we're not in Judea, we're not in Samaria, we're in the ends of the earth. He has planted us here for a plan and a purpose to be that light. "And when you shall receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea." Power in the Greek is dunamis, meaning the ability to perform. It's as simple as that. We want to make it all about the supernatural all the time. "I got power. I can do this." And he says, "I'm giving you the capability to do what I ask you to do. I'm giving you the gifts to do what I'm asking you to do when you receive the Holy Spirit. God will give you the tools you need to perform what He asked you to do." And first, he simply asked them to be witnesses of Yeshua. That was the call. Be witnesses of Yeshua. What is a witness? Meanings what a person has seen, what a person has heard, and what a person knows. That is a witness. So what do we know? What do we know about our Father? What do we know about our Savior? Times of movement, appointed times, sacred times, from the beginning. I forgot to read something. I'm going to go back to it. It's Hebrews 4. "So there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim, for the one having entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works, and God from his own. Let us therefore do our utmost to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the example of the disobedient in the wilderness." They were supposed to mix faith with being obedient to His Torah. And they didn't do that. They didn't mix in faith. And here's what I wanted to get to. "For the Word of God is living and active." It's not dead. God's not dead. The Holy Spirit's not dead. Yeshua's not dead. His Word is alive and active. It should be alive and active in our lives.
Amen.
There's nothing still about God. There's nothing. He's always moving. He's always looking. He's always calling. He's always asking. He's always prompting. Are we listening? Are we listening? And if Paul came in here, he may say, "For indeed, although this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again from the elements of the words of Yah, and you shall be, and you have become as." And you have become such as need milk and not solid food. I just did one of those things where, you know, you want to, Tom did, yeah. I'm going to try that. For indeed, although by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first elements of the words of Jehovah. And you have become such as need milk, not solid food. For everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word. Well, that's a risk, because I was thinking about, you know, because when you read something like that, how dare he? I have been walking this out for 14 years. I'm just reading what's in the Word. Don't get mad at me. Paul read it. Paul wrote it. For everyone participating of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained by practice. And this goes back to what Mark was teaching last night, to discern both good and evil. Practice. Sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to try to move out in faith. Sometimes we're going to try to do something. Sometimes we're going to take that step, and the Father's going to say, it's not exactly what I had in mind. So just come back. Let's try this again. Back in the boat. But it was a good try. But thank you for stepping out and at least trying. So sometimes we are going to mess it up a little bit. But the point that I was making is not so much that we need milk. The point I wanted to make is we need to practice. We need to practice. And we need to discern both good and evil. And sometimes that takes practice and discerning and testing those spirits. Testing those. There's something me and Patty did, helped our son the other night and get a car. This is just a practical thing. And so we felt like it went pretty well because I don't like buying cars. It's just one of the most stressful things. I don't like being told all the stuff from the salesman and all that. So, but we got home. I didn't have the buyer's remorse thing. I don't know if anyone else has ever done that. And then you get home, you wake up and you think, oh my God, what did I buy? Why did I buy it? But I was talking to her. I think maybe it was good. I think it was the Father that had led us there. I mean, it all clicked. It worked out. But I'm testing it. I want to make sure the car doesn't break down in a couple weeks. If it gets through a couple weeks and it's running, then maybe that's it. But I want to practice that. I don't want to assume that I know something. We see God moving from the beginning. We see the Holy Spirit moving from the beginning. In Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's Spirit moved, or He hovered over the face of chaos. Many times in Scriptures, water refers to chaos. It was a chaotic situation, and He hovered over chaos. To move or to hover means to, it's a different definition than I thought I would look up. It's rakaf, and it means to grow, soft, relax, to brood, B-R-O-O-D. I don't know if I'm saying that way. Brood, 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 by implication. To flutter, to move, to shake. So I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, because somewhere along my messianic walk, someone said, if you look up Webster's 1828, it's more aligned to the Scriptures. I said, okay. To brood, to sit and cover as a fowl on her eggs for the purpose of warming them and hatching chickens, and as a hen over her chickens to warm and to protect them. To sit on, to spread over as with wings, as to sit brooding over the vast abyss. The chaotic waters. This was in Webster's 1828. To mature anything with care. To mature anything with care. And we see this in Deuteronomy 32, 9 and 12. For the Lord's portion is His people Jacob. It's the place of His inheritance. He found him in the desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirs its nest and hovers over them. It's the same word. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. In a chaotic situation, in the desert, in a wasteland, a howling wilderness, the Lord surrounded His people. At the appointed time, as an eagle stirs up the nest to propel and encourage her young to fly, so the Lord does with His children. We've heard this word now a few weeks, and we may even need it today. To arouse oneself, to awaken oneself, to lift oneself up, to master oneself, to stir oneself up, to be energized. We've heard this mentioned in a few different passages, in a few different sermons. Well, the eagle will agitate or annoy her young in the nest, not to cause harm, but get them to fly, to propel, so that they enter into their full potential. And I researched this out. I thought I'm going to spend some time researching it. And like I always do, I went to YouTube. And I typed, mother eagle pushing out young of the nest. Come up some videos. So I clicked on it. Well, there's this mother, and there's these three babies, and they're getting kind of big. And this nest looked like it was 200 feet in the air. I mean, this nest was not close to the ground, so if the babies flew out, they would just hit the ground. And this mother was coming into the nest, and she's flapping her wings, and she's pulling one of them by the wing, and she's pulling them, and she's flapping, she's agitating them, and she's coming. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, she meant business. And these babies were like, I am not flying off this nest 200 feet in the air. Could the Father be agitating us today to encourage us and arouse us by what's going on? To stir us up, to pay attention, so that we'll reach out into our full potential? So, I thought, well, the babies eventually flew out of the nest. And then they've come to me, and the babies flew, and they've soared into the wind, and you know, the baby. So, I thought, well, it worked for her. I'm going to try this out. Because I've got two adult children still living at home. So for 45 minutes the other day, I went through the house going, And so finally, I stopped.
Bought him a car.
And it didn't work. They looked at me a little funny, but they've been doing that for years. I'm a little goofy anyway, so I mean, they're like, well, I don't know. And they always ask Patty, Mom, why did you marry him? I mean, what were you thinking? Was there no one else? My daughter, all of Mom, seriously. And I love my kids, and they can stay as long as they want. I just did that to be funny, so. The Father wants us to step out in our full potential. And that's what he was asking Israel when he was delivering them from Egypt. That's what he was asking from the disciples after his resurrection. And if he's going to agitate us and move us, he promised his power, his Holy Spirit, so that we can perform what he's asking us to do. To agitate, it means to move or force into violent, irregular actions as the wind agitates the sea. To disturb. Sometimes he's going to disturb us. He's going to make us feel uncomfortable. He's going to ask us to do something we don't want to do. He's going to take something away from us that's going to make us respond and react. He's going to agitate us. And I was thinking, as goofy as this is, about a washing machine. It has an agitator. And you put the clothes in and the thing just keeps agitating the clothes till it gets the impurities out of. And so sometimes the Father's going to agitate us to move us and get us to be able to move in our full potential. He's tired of us sitting in the nest. There's some of us in this house that he's asked us to do something and we will not move. It's time. And there's either an easy way or there's not going to be an easy way. And right before Yeshua's resurrection, he was sharing with the disciples. And he says, hey, I'm getting ready to go away, but I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He'll teach you all things. Tom mentioned that. He'll bring to your remembrance all the things that I said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the helper's not going to come. I imagine that was an awkward conversation, trying to understand that. The Holy Spirit, our teacher, our helper, our advocate, our intercessor, the one who is called to our aid to help us. And he brings the remembrance of the word that God has hidden in our hearts. And we see this in Jeremiah 31, 33, and I think Mark mentioned this last night. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. We've got to be putting the word in our heart. If there's no word in the heart, what is he going to remind us of? Yes, we are the house of Israel through faith and our covenantal relationship with Yeshua. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2, 11, 13, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcised, but what is called circumcised, made by the flesh, that at the time you were without Messiah, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without Messiah, we weren't part of the house of Israel. We weren't. But now it says, in Yeshua, you who were once far off have been brought near by His blood. Amen. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us as an advocate, as an encourager. He'll remind us of the Word of God, His instructions that have been deposited within us. He even says, don't worry when you go before the government and before the councils and before the religious leader. I'll give you the words. I'll give you the anointing. I'll give you the grace when you need it. He's not going to give us tomorrow's grace today. I know we want it. I think we have these imaginations now of what's going to happen 6 months from now, what's going to happen a year from now, what's going to happen 18 months from now. And he's like, just deal with today. Just deal with today. I told you not to worry about tomorrow. We may not even be here, some of us. I mean, I sent a message last week. Life is not short. Life is eternal. Whether we're on this side or that side, we're still living. So we don't need to be really freaked out about this thing. We need to take it one day at a time. I'll listen to this message later because I got to remind myself of that more than anyone. How do we do this? As I started out, I mentioned that our Father is structured. He's organized. He sets appointed times to meet us. Unfortunately, many do not recognize or value those appointed times. We don't value those appointed times. We're too busy. We're busy people. We're very, very busy. Everyone, oh, I'm so busy. I've never been more busy. Well, we need to slow down and prioritize what's really important. We need reminders. I need reminders. Don't you have schedules and calendars that you put reminders on? How about the Shema at 9 and 3 o'clock? We all have our phones set because I'll be working sometimes and not even realize it's 3 in the afternoon. We need reminders. We need disruptions of our schedules. We need disruptions of our plans. And I believe that one of the reasons we're asked to observe the and guard the feast is so that we respond and remember the goodness of the Father. He gives us these cycles. He gives us these patterns. And we see that in Leviticus 23. And guess what the first feast is that's mentioned in Leviticus? Shabbat. It's not the spring feast. The Shabbat is a feast. It's a weekly festival. And I don't know if we value it all the time. And we treat it as such. We carve out our schedules to make sure that we're honoring and valuing the Shabbat, or we're fitting the Shabbat into our schedules. Well, the next thing that comes along is the spring feast. We have Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, which we just celebrated. Then today we have Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. Then we have the fall feast that will be coming up before we know it. We have trumpets. We've got Yom Kippur. Because I say Yom, and then they go Yom. Okay, Yom Kippur. And then we have Sukkot. Well, the spring feast were the prophecy of His first coming. What do you think the fall feast will be? What do you think they are? Try that again. The spring feast are the prophecies of his first coming. What do you think the fall feast are?
Second coming.
Prophetic for the resurrection and the return of Yeshua. What about if it was this year? I don't think it is. That's just my opinion. But what about if? It's just my opinion. Trust me. I mean, he's not downloaded any timetables to me. I just don't think it is. But what about if it was? And one day it will be. Well, we see those feasts listed in Leviticus. He's given us reminders. He's given us cycles. In Numbers 10:10, Israel is reminded to acknowledge the beginning of months. He says in verse 10, also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feast at the beginning of your month, you shall also blow trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you, for I am God, I am the Lord your God. And as you read the chapter, Numbers 10, Moses is given instruction by the Father how to alert Israel with the silver trumpets. It was a time to move. He's either calling the leaders, he's calling the house of Israel, or they're moving out. They're going somewhere. Rosh Kodesh. It shall be for a memorial. When the moon comes up on the first of the month, after it's been hidden for 2 days, do we know what that represents? What's it represent? Resurrection. The third day. We're getting close to the third day, folks. We really are. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. We have these things. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget my Shabbat. Don't forget my Rosh Kodesh. Don't forget the resurrection. Don't forget the third day. Don't forget my first coming. Don't forget the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and what I gave you on Mount Sinai. Don't forget that I'm coming back again in the fall feast. Don't forget these things. I'm sending them to remind you. But as priests, I also see a daily responsibility that we're to attend to, not just weekly, not just monthly, not just annual. And yes, we are priests. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you. Are we showing forth the praises? Sometimes I feel, Tony, do you feel like you're pulling the praises? Pulling the praise. Come on, folks, let's praise him. Let's go. Let's get loose. Let's praise him. Let's exemplify who he is in our life. Come on. He's called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Some of you guys need to remember where you were. Some of you have gotten a little complacent where you're at now. Things are a little bit better than they were before. We see this daily responsibility in Exodus 27 as priest. And I asked this question a couple weeks ago. Am I a priest of the Levitical priesthood? I'm not. Okay, Tony said no. Darn. Am I a priest of Melchizedek? I'm the priest of my own house. I'm the head. I tried that once. I get you, and I believe you. But Patty is the neck. I believe it. I got that from my big fat Greek wedding. Yeah. We see this daily responsibility in Exodus 27, 20, and 21. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. To cause the lamp to burn continually. The priests in the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons, the priest, shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. We're talking about patterns and cycles. And that word to tend means to arrange, to set in order. To arrange, to set in order. And the word continually means tamid. Tamid, continually. And we see this in Exodus 29, the tamid offerings. One lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight between the evenings, and you shall offer it with grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning, for a sweet aroma as an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, while I will meet with you and speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I don't think we get it. I don't think we get it. Morning, night, night, morning, tending to the lamp, tending to the offerings, morning, night, night, morning. We're tending to something. We're putting something in order. We're making sure the light doesn't go out. We're making sure the lamp inside of us doesn't go out. We've got a pattern going. Be careful not to make sure your walk with Yeshua gets redundant. It needs to get redundant. It needs to be morning, night, morning, night, weekly, monthly, annual, morning, night, daily. You need to get in that. Even if you sit there and just stare at the wall, you need to get up. Morning, night, night, morning. And there I will meet with you. Not hearing from the Lord, you're not setting aside your appointed times. You're not doing it. You're not carving out. It's not valuable to you. It's not important enough. It's just not important enough. We won't do it. We won't make it a schedule. We won't get up. We won't turn the things off at night. We won't put our phones down. We won't get off Facebook. We won't. And then we wonder, did the priest take a day off? If they were assigned to go morning and night to make sure that oil was pure and that lamp was lit, and they decided one day that they weren't going to do it, what would happen? What did Aaron's sons do when they disobeyed? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He's inside of you. You're not your own. I'll say this right now. We don't have a right to our bodies. I don't care what you say. You didn't create it. You didn't form it. I don't care. You don't have a right to do with what you want with your body. It's not yours. It says you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. The lamp within the tabernacle was to be attended to continually every day. It was the duty of the priest to do that. And if we're a priest, we should be attending to the lamp that's within our body every day. We don't get a day off. The lamp was the menorah, which included seven lights burning as one lamp. It was one unit. There were some people that really had some experiences in this Bible. And I think it would have been really cool to have some of them. I don't know if we'll see them like this again or not. I don't know. I was even praying, and this is one of the risky things I'm going to say, and I don't really care anymore. The reason maybe we're over here in the United States living is because we need to be comfortable. He knew if he put us over here, we would fall apart. There's some folks that can really walk this thing out. There are some folks that really want this thing. There are some folks that will really walk miles and miles to hear the man of God preach a few words. There's some people that will tape some scriptures together so they can get a few scriptures to read. Not us. We got 19 Bibles. We won't pick them up. We won't turn the stuff off. We won't get up in the morning. And he said, you know, what am I going to put you over there for? Why would I put you in the Middle East? Why would I put you in Iran, Iraq? Why would I put you in China? You'd fall apart. Let me get you over here. So you can sleep in your fluffy bed and have everything you need. Okay. Well, you know me better than I do. But in the book of Revelation, anybody been reading the book of Revelation lately? Every time something happens, don't we flood to it?
Yeah.
Every time, you know, you watch the news report, Black Horse. Red Horse. Denaria. John. Now that was an experience. Got caught up. And it said around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded... Tell me what this sounds like. And from the thrones proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. Same thing. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The menorah. And then a little later down, when John was weeping because there was no one worthy to open the scroll, then one of the elders said to John, "Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb who appeared to have been slain standing in the center of the thrones, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb having seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The seven spirits of God represented by seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Well, in Exodus, those lamps were to be attended to continually. They were never to be put out. Okay, I'll use Strong's, the definition of fire. The fire of God, which transforms all it touches. The fire of God, which transforms all it touches to the likeness of itself. Fire always moves. It never sits still. You ever seen a fire that sits still? Have you ever seen a fire that was satisfied?
No.
Are we satisfied? Are we sitting still? Do we have that fire? We're begging. The teachers are begging. We're begging. We're begging. Let's get motivated. Let's get that fire stirred up in us again. Do you remember your first love? Do you remember when you first got saved? I don't care if you were in a Baptist church. I don't care if you were Presbyterian. Do you remember? We see this seven spirits mentioned in Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Talking about Yeshua. The Spirit of God shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And what scripture did Yeshua quote that got him in so much trouble? Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release the prisoners. Is this not our commission? Isn't that the commission of his disciples? And if that's our commission, he promised to equip us with the power, the capability to fulfill what he's asking us to do. His Holy Spirit, the lamp that burns continually before the throne of the Almighty. Sometimes that's where I go to pray. Do you go to pray in your spirit sometimes? I mean, have you been to Israel and you've seen the Sea of Galilee? And sometimes I think I'm going to just pray sitting by the Sea of Galilee. Amen. And I can still remember looking out at the Sea of Galilee. That's a cool place to pray. Sometimes I go into the holy place and I look at that menorah and I remember those seven spirits of God burning. And I think, boy, what a great place this is. Someday. And then I think about the bread. The bread sits across from the menorah, the seven spirits of God burning for a week. And then you take the bread and they got to eat it. It was saturated in the presence of God. Do you think it filled you with something? He deposited into each one of us. What is it he deposited? Well, the seven spirits of God. His breath from the beginning of time. He breathed into man. His breath, his wisdom, his understanding, his counsel, his mighty power, his knowledge, and his reverence. Should we have an advantage over the world if we're full of the Holy Spirit? Should we have an advantage over the world if we're full of his Holy Spirit? I mean, if we're full of this, of wisdom and understanding and counsel and the might and all the gifts of the Spirit, should we not have an advantage of someone who doesn't? And so we see also that he provides us his gifts. Jim, please don't go there. Don't go Pentecostal on us. Don't do it. Well, this is Pentecost. Can I go a little Pentecostal? I mean, I came up in the Pentecostal church. We criticize them a lot, but they could get down, though, sometimes with some praise and worship. I mean, a little Andre Crouch, a little something going on. I mean, we got down. I mean, we may not have been doing it right, but we had a great time. Some folks were, I mean, we may not have had it all right, but there was a little excitement about coming. We came expecting. We came expecting. We did come expecting. Now, sometimes, you know, I get it. I'm there. So one day there was a guy giving announcements at the church we went to, and he fell out in the spirit giving the announcements. I was looking down at something. I looked up. He was laying up on the stage. I said, Patty, what happened? She goes, he fell out in the spirit. I said, during announcements? I knew it was time to go. All he was doing is announcing the pork barbecue. And the youth are going bawling. And then they put a sheet over him. And he laid there. I said, man, those are some powerful announcements. I got to tell you that. 1 Corinthians. Tom mentioned this. I won't. Different spirit, different gifts, same spirit. Different ministry, same work. Different working, same God. To each one given a manifestation for the common good. One, maybe one has a gift of wisdom, another knowledge by the same, another faith, another the gifts of healing, another the working of miracles, prophecy, the distinguishing of spirits, various tongues. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was visualizing saying tongues and thought that the two Baptist people here and the three Presbyterian and all the Messianics would kind of get up and leave. But you guys are still here. And to another, an interpretation of tongues. You know what? We don't like things we don't understand. And we want to package it. I'm open, Father. Whatever. You know, I don't understand it. You want to flow through us and work your gifts? Why not? Why not? And the cool thing about it, all these work according to the way he determines. So I got a revelation on this. And I thought, are we complicating these gifts? And so I was just thinking, why don't we just try this? In the morning, because we're going to be attending our lamps from now on. I hope you guys remember, in the M-O-R-N-I-N-G, morning, 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 before you start your day, we tend to our lamps and we just say, Father, in the name of Yeshua and in the authority of your Son, will you bless me with the gifts that I need today to walk in what I'll face today, and leave it there. That's it. Will you help me today with any gift that I need? You're a good father. You said if me being evil know how to give good gifts to my son, how about I come to you and I just say, Father, will you just please bless me with what I need, because you know what I'll face. And you know what? Me and Patty were talking about this. I think we operate in the gifts of the Spirit and half the time we don't even know about it. We don't even realize it until you think about it later. Somebody had a need, you know, somebody needed some counseling, you gave them a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and you think about it later and you said, you know what? That was a gift of the Spirit working in me and I didn't even realize it. There was and I'm almost done, and I'm going to stop. This is another funny Pentecostal story. There was a lady I knew. She was dynamic. She was in the Pentecost church I went to. So she told me one day, she said, Jim, I've been getting up early in the morning, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I've been going into my prayer closet, and I've been praying. I said, that's awesome. She goes, and she lived in an apartment. She goes, and I've been crying out to the Father at the top of my lungs. And she said, I've been praying in tongues as loud as I can. And she said, and one morning I was crying out to the Father and I was praying in tongues, and from the apartment next door, some dude said, shut up! And she goes, I didn't know he could hear me. And I said, Sharon, I mean, you can't be in your prayer closet at 5 o'clock in the morning in an apartment scaring everyone. God's word is active. His Holy Spirit is active. His fire is active. He gives us the power and the capability to perform the work and the assignment and the calling he's asked us to do. He sets patterns and cycles to remind us and to teach us and to meet with us. Daily to meet offerings. Morning and night, night and morning. Tending to the lamp that burns within us. He so desperately wants us to do that. He really does. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He really needs us to do that. There's going to be things that are coming up that may challenge us. I mean, we're not going to go backwards. Look at the airline industry. We didn't go back to normal. We're still taking our shoes off and our belts half the time. Some airports are different. So we're not going to go backwards, because once there's an intrusion and there's a crack, those that feel that they can get away with it will utilize that. And so we may need to be prayed up. We may need that wisdom and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be operating within us. And he, guess what? He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So we don't need to be operating in fear. If we're operating in fear, we're doing what Israel did when they were faced with going in to the Holy Land. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to do that? To meet offerings every morning, every night, tending to the seven, to the lamps burning within us, the weekly Shabbat, Rosh Kodesh, the annual feasts. There's a cadence. There's a cadence. When I was in junior high school, I played the drums. And I and I was in the marching band. And we played cadences. And the band would march. And as the band would march, the director would call out, which cadence? 2, 3, 4. And we're just cruising down the street. I still remember those cadences to this day. I'm 58 years old. Over and over, the same cadences, over and over. In my spirit, I still remember them. He wants us to get in a cadence. It should just be something that we do. Morning and night and weekly and monthly and annually and morning. And if you really did it daily, it's continual. It never stops. That's what he's asking us to do today. He's orderly. And I can tell you, not all the time because things happen, but I can tell you people that are really trying to live out the Word of God. Their house is just more in order. You don't have massive confusion every time you talk to the people. And then there's others, every time you talk to them, the whole world's falling apart. It's one person in the family to another, and the father's like, no, I don't operate like that. I'm orderly. I'm not chaotic. There's not a lot of chaos with me. He hovers over chaos. Yes, he'll agitate us to get us moving into the next phase of our lives. He'll bear us up on wings. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate, and our teacher, and he wants us to walk in those blessings and to be in his power so that we can complete what he's asked us to do. Amen. Yeshua.